It's who's who for that reason. First woman president.
Is she another?
Of a four-year state college. Not teachers' college. State college where you have everything, you know? Okay, now, let's see what you want here. You better turn me off again. January 14th, 1957.
Okay.
And there was a blizzard. It was very difficult getting from Brookfield to Danbury. Most of the way we had to walk. In fact, Miss Haas lived on Southern Boulevard, and she walked to school from there because there was no other way. The blizzard was terrific. And at that time, it was Danbury State Teachers College. We only had teachers going there, you know, people who were studying. We had two lab schools at that time. One was the Roberts Avenue School, and the other was the Locust Avenue School. And they were our lab schools. The teachers there were paid by the state and reimbursed for a part of their salary from the city of Danbury. At that time, it was a town. And our business office, as we called it then, which included everything from payroll to purchasing to receipts and anything that had anything to do with the students, was all done in one little office by just about four or five women. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know where 7th Avenue is?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, well, as you come in the 7th Avenue entrance, the first office on your left, right next to the elevator, was what we called the business office. Mm-hmm. And everything was done there. We did budget, everything. We interviewed teachers. We took care of all the students. And at that time, we only had Fairfield Hall, which was a woman's dormitory. And all the cooking was done there. And of course, only the women that resided there could eat there. We did have a snack bar, which was a Quonset hut. And the Quonset hut was where the boiler house is now. You know, the boiler plant?
Yes. Uh-huh.
That was a Quonset hut.
Yeah.
And the Quonset hut included the bookstore, the snack bar, and the recreation hall.
All that
in there? All in there. It was a great big place. It was an old army Quonset hut. And, of course, the student union wasn't there, and Fairfield was, but not Litchfield, or, of course, the other one,
Newbury.
The big
Newbury.
One.
Newbury.
Newbury. Mm-hmm. And that was it. The campus was very small at that time.
Yeah.
There was a tennis court out in the back where the parking lot is behind Old Main.
Oh, yeah.
And where the student union is, that was the tennis court. The gym was, as I said, where the business office was. Inside that business office, there was a door on your right as you went in. That door led to a landing.
Mm-hmm.
And that door, that landing, led you down into the gym, which is still there. It's suspended. Someplace between where the president's office is and all those offices that are there, halfway between the cellar and that and the main floor, is a gym. It's still there. And you could get into it from both entrances, from the upper parking lot and from there. And at the other end of the hall, they used to have a piano where they used to do the dancing and everything. And we used to be able to watch them in there in the gym, in the business office.
Yeah.
And you would see the Catholic nuns come in and there. At that time, they all wore their long habits.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they'd be teaching, they'd be doing basketball and all these things. In, you know, it was quite interesting to see all these things. Now, upstairs on the second floor, originally, before I came, of course, Old Main was the only building they had, and that was your whole school. And the business office originally was the music department. Then upstairs on the second floor, where the AV, no, it's not AV anymore, it's the computer center is up there now. And also where Diane Golden has her graphics department up there on the second floor. Well, if you notice, there's a huge ceiling up there. That was the auditorium. And where Diane Golden has her graphics department, that was a teaching lab. They had a regular kindergarten room there, and they used to bring the kindergarten children from the lab schools over there, and we had little seats like little theaters on two sides in there, and you could sit in there and observe the children while they were working and take notes, but they couldn't see you because they had those one-way windows, you know? And across the way on the right was your what we called the research library at that time. Up on the third floor, where they now have admission, what do they have up there, registrar and the cashier's office and all those places, that was your library. And in the middle of the hall where you walked to go to the, that was where they had the desks, the library desk where the women would sit to take your books and all that jazzy stuff. That was right in the middle of the hall. Where the financial arts department is, Bill Hawkins, that was a children's library. They had all the little tiny chairs and all the little storybooks for grade school children. And then the rest of it, where they had the cashier's office and the administrative offices, that was where you did your studying. That was your library. That was the library up there. The whole building, that was it. But of course, when I came, then they had already built Higgins, part of Higgins, first part of Higgins. So that was then a classroom building. That was your classroom building there. And as I said, Fairfield Hall was the only place we had for students, men students. There weren't that many, but those that were there had to live off campus. And then, and we had part of Berkshire. We built Berkshire while I was there. And of course, Whitehall was Danbury's high school at that time. In fact, my two daughters went there.
Oh, really?
When I joined Westcon, it was Danbury State Teachers College when I first went there. So I saw four name changes there. It was first Danbury State Teachers College, then Danbury State College, then Western Connecticut State College, and then Western Connecticut State University before I left. And as I said, when I first started, everything was done in the one office. And then you had books for budget and all that sort of thing before we had the computers and everything. And all the purchase orders and all the bidding and anything pertaining that you bought for the school had to be typed, and you had bids you had to go out with, and of course we also had a lot of state contracts. And all the food was bought through our office. And before the 10th of the month, you had to be sure that you got all those orders, purchase orders out, you know, and all the meat and butter and eggs and things like that, cheese, all came from Middletown. Well, in fact, Middletown still does that, but not for the colleges. It's mostly for the institutions. But it was interesting to, you know, to be able to see all the changes that I had seen since I'd been there. And then finally they started, as they grew, they started to separate the departments. Then pretty soon you had a personnel department and a payroll department and the cashier's office, and we had a purchasing department, and then since I had been involved with it, I became the purchasing officer. And then I did the bidding and all of the purchase orders and anything that was bought or had to be bought. Like, for instance, when we became so big in the athletic department and we started to have all the different sports, you had to have schedules set up, and then you had to go out to bid to get buses for all those out-of-town places, you know, when you had your football and basketball and hockey and baseball and all the girls' sports and the boys' sports. And a long, long time ago, before we even had a field, we used to have to go over to what we called Lee's Field, which was over on Triangle Street. And, and that's where we used to play baseball. And that was about the, we only had basketball and baseball in the beginning.
For a while.
And, you know, for a long, long time before we became big enough to have all these other things. So, I don't know, anything else you want to ask me that?
Did you work closely with Dr. Haas, or did
you? Oh, yes. And when Dr. Haas was there, she had what we called an open door policy. You know, when you walk down Old Main now, what you see is closed walls. We never had anything like that when Ms. Haas was there. Ms. Haas knew every student by their name, not only the student, but everybody in their family. And she didn't pry. She did it because she was interested. She used to have an open door. She'd see you go by, she'd say, come on in. You know. And all the governors used to come down, and they'd be in there, Ribbikoff, Meskel, Dempsey, Grasso, Ella Grasso especially, were very close with Dr. Haas. And as she'd see you go by, she'd say, Claire, come on in, say hello. And you'd go in and you'd sit down, you know, with these two important ladies, you know. And it was just so nice. Sometimes you'd go to lunch, they were having lunch, you'd have lunch with them. It really was terrific.
A real family
and atmosphere. Yes, it was such a different feeling than it is today. Even today, I don't go down very often, because when I go down, all I see is all these closed walls. And it's such a depressing feeling for me, you know, because it was really very nice. I mean, in fact, my grandson, who's now 33 years old, he teaches at Hayestown School, and he graduated from there. And when he was 5 weeks old, my two daughters came in to pick me up after school, because we had to share cars. My younger daughter was out student teaching, so naturally she had the car, and by the time she came back, and they had taken him for his first checkup. And he was in the office, they were holding him, and Ms. Haas came in to sign all my papers, you know. And all of a sudden she stopped and she said, is this Jimmy? And I mean, that's how she knew everything that was going on, you know. So she stopped, she picked him up, and she brought him back into her office, and she sat in her office with him. And we always tease him. We say, when you were 5 weeks old, you were interviewed for college by the president. Well, he teaches at Hayestown, and he also coaches basketball. Then my younger daughter graduated from there, and she teaches in New Milford. And she's been up there 24 years. So we've been in the school. In fact, the kids always tease me. They say, Grandma, I never got out of school. I've been in school ever since I can remember. But it was fascinating to see how the place grew, you know, and to be involved with as many things as I was. And I had a very good relationship with everybody. I'm sure that if you check, you'll find that out. And I don't know what else you would like to know about.
How did everything change when Dr. Haas left and you got the new president?
As I said, it was altogether different. And I could see, as I said, when Bercy came, it became, we then all of a sudden we had all these doors closed. And with Dr. Feldman, it's the same thing. You know, it's very hard to get to know them and to talk to them. In fact, up in the cashier's office, we used to have a big mimeo. And all the people in our building, an old man used to have to come up there, you know. So this one, and we had a gal that took care of the thing, and of course you had to sign, because you, anybody could come in. So you had to sign who you were, see? So this one day, Dr. Bercy came up, and he wanted to do something in the machine, and the poor kid, she was upset, she didn't know what to do. She did not know who he was, and she was a sophomore there. And she did not know this man, and she could, and he wouldn't sign anything, and so she was very upset. And so when he left, she ran after him to the elevator, and I was just coming down the hall. And she's saying, Mister, would you put, you did sign. And he's looking at her, you know. So finally I got her eye, and I said to her, I called her, I said, it's all right, you know. I said, that's Dr. Bercy. Well, she was flabbergasted, because she had no idea it was the president of the country. I mean, that was typical. And I'm sure it's the same, but of course I'm sure Dr. Feldman doesn't go upstairs to run everything over, you know.
That's true.
Because there's no way, you knock on a door, and when you knock on the door, somebody tells you to come in, and you only get past that desk. You never get into his office at all.
No.
There's no way you get in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was never that way with Miss Haas. Never. But as I said, times have changed.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what else you need to know or what you want to know, or if there's anything.
How about the unionism that came in, like in the clerical office?
Yes, yes. Well, when I first went there, the only thing that we had was what we called the CSCA.
Mm-hmm.
That was the Connecticut, CSCA was the only thing that we had.
Uh-huh.
There was a credit union attached to that. And we used to have meetings every once in a while. It was not actually a union. It was just that if you wanted to put money into this thing, you could, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There were no unions. And the salaries were positively awful,
you know.
They really were terrible. And, I mean, after all, you were doing jobs way above what you were supposed to. You were getting practically nothing. The only good thing was, your benefits were pretty good, except at that time your health benefits were only 10%.
Uh-huh.
And as we grew and then unions started to come in, then we got to the point where we could go up and fight and we got better health benefits.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And let's see, when Ella came in, I think that it was only, I'm not sure, so really don't quote me, whether it was 20%, and finally it went up to 80%.
That much?
Mm-hmm. And now it's 100%. But this is something we've been fighting for, and fighting and fighting. And the pensions, and you have to realize that some of these people that have retired many, many years ago from Fairfield Hills and motor vehicle and all the custodial people and the people like that,
mm-hmm.
if they get $600 a month, that's a lot of money. Now, you know, there's no way anybody can live on that.
Yeah.
Well, their salaries were so low
that
this is what their pensions were based on. You know, whatever the last 3 years that you are employed is what they base your pension on. But so when the unions came in, a lot of people say unions are bad, but the unions in some ways have done a lot of good for the people, I think, for the ordinary working people, you know. Sure, you have a lot of people that go out and they cause problems and they have riots and they have all this stuff, but we haven't had anything like this in the state. The only thing we've ever done is go up and march around the Capitol, and that's the extent of it. There's never been any violence. And I have been up there going up because I was vice president of the local retirees chapter of CSEA. And ever since it started in this area. And then finally I decided that I thought somebody else should be it. But of course I'm involved with it. I'm in the legislative committee, and I'm a member of the executive committee and all that. And I go to quite a few meetings up in Hartford. And I will say that it's very interesting. We were up there just last week again, and we were up there lobbying, you know, when they were talking about the tax reform bills and everything. And it's fascinating to listen to all these things. And I think a lot more people should get interested in this. And the thing is that CSEA, every time you go to a meeting up there, if you drive a car, they'll pay you mileage. And if they don't serve lunch, they give you $6 for lunch. Now, you know, you can get lunch for a lot less than $6. So you get $6 for lunch every single time you go up to any meeting up there. Now, I don't know why the people won't go. You know, we try to convince them, we pick them up, we'll do all this sort of thing. Nobody wants to go. But they only know how to yell when something goes wrong, you know. That's the whole problem. But that's about all I can tell you.
What were you when you said you were the president of
No, vice president.
Vice president, and what kind of things did you do with as a
as the vice president? Well, of course, lots of times I had to preside at the meeting because the guy that was president decided he didn't want to continue anymore. So he just turned everything over to me. And of course, as I said, you had to keep the chapter together, and you had to try to get more recruits to come in. And after all, when you realize how many retirees there are in the state of Connecticut, and to be a member of CSEA, it only costs you $3 a month. And you get all this information, and you can go to all these meetings, and I said you get reimbursed and all this, and it's difficult. Right now I've got a box right here. See that big box? That box is full of all the names of the retirees in our area. And we go, you know, we go all the way up to, we don't go to Kent anymore, we used to. We used to go all the way up to Lakeville, all the way up to the end of the state, but people never came to the meetings. But we have just, you know, Southbury and Brookfield and New Milford and Sherman and all of those, all the way to New Milford, all of those areas all around this area. And we have quite a few members. And tomorrow's our meeting, and we'll be nominating our officers for the next year. And we meet 10 months a year, and we meet at the Methodist Church on Clapboard Hill. And we always have a lot of different people come in, you know. Now, right now, tomorrow, we're going to have somebody from the state come down and tell us all about tax reform and what they're planning and that sort of thing. And so these are some of the things that we do, and we keep very much up to date. We have people come in for all sorts of things, you know, about health, and we had somebody come in about, we had one of the new probate judge come in, Diane Yaman, and in fact, her husband, you know, went to school at Westcon, and while he was going to school, he worked in the cashier's office, and I knew him very well. I used to work with him quite often, Bob. He's now, I think he's chairman of one of the parties. I'm not sure whether it's Republican. I think it's Republican. But I remember him when he was a student, before he decided he was going to be a lawyer. So, I mean, these are, you know, some of the things that we do, and it's quite interesting.
Do you find that it's very effective in getting it?
Oh, yes.
Do you think you would have gotten the benefits you have if it wasn't for that?
No. Not if it wasn't for the fact that we keep going up there, and we keep, we have people that go up and speak, you know, and the CSEA is quite a big organization. There are a lot of other unions, too, but I find that they have done an excellent job, and as I said, they also have a wonderful credit union. Uh-huh. You don't even have to be a member in order to put your money in there, uh-huh. you know. They have done a lot for the people. In fact, they've got 3 chapters down in Florida now. Uh-huh. You know, with all the people, yeah. Oh, you'd be surprised how many people are living in Florida that are all Connecticut, yeah, yeah. were Connecticut yeah, yeah. Residents, you know, and worked for the state. Yeah. So that, and they, a couple of the women just came back from there. They had gone to meetings down there. And so it's quite interesting and yeah. keeps me busy.
Yeah.
So I don't know what else you want to know.
On the unions, mm-hmm. didn't the university try to like fire Richard Sear when he tried to form a union with the maintenance?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
In someone's interview, we heard stuff about that. About
mm-hmm. he's a nice guy, Rich.
Yeah, we've heard a lot of nice
mm-hmm.
things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, because he was outspoken, uh-huh. and you know how they are. I mean, it's the same with anything. Even I don't care where you are. If you go against the administration, you run into a problem, you know.
Yeah.
But if you're honest and you believe in certain things, I think that you would feel very troubled, even if you didn't speak up, even yeah. if it might hurt you in some way. Now, Richard is not in the same union I'm in, but he was very outspoken and he did a lot for the custodial yes. people yes. and the maintenance people.
Yes.
And if it wasn't for people like him who would speak up, they wouldn't have what they have today.
Yes.
You know,
uh-huh.
it's this is the way it is. It always happens this way, and then. Then somehow or other they get in wrong with the administration. And,
uh-huh.
and I always feel that there are too many chiefs and not enough workers.
yeah.
And I feel that way about Westcom too. And I know that it's true because I've been there long enough to know it.
Yeah.
And I saw what happens, you know. And whenever they decide that they're going to let somebody go, they always pick on the poor people that are yeah. on the lower end of the pole.
Yeah.
But every administrator has an assistant and another assistant, you know, goes all down the line.
Yeah.
But they're not the ones that clean and keep the place clean.
Uh-huh.
And I've been down there and I get very discouraged when I see that the...
Yeah.
The halls and the different buildings are not very clean, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
But I mean, you don't expect the assistant director of so and so to go out there and push a broom.
Yeah. Was that kind of thing that made you decide to leave? Or
no, I was 73 when I left. Okay. You're only supposed to be 70.
So it was just...
But I left, nobody asked me to leave. Yeah. I left because I thought it was time.
Yeah.
I was a little fed up with what was going on and everything.
Yeah.
And I thought, I've had it, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. 30 years.
Yeah.
And as I said, I had 2 letters. 2 different years I had letters sent to me from first Dr. Robinson,
mm-hmm.
who was the Vice President of Administrative Affairs, who was my big boss.
Uh-huh.
And he asked me to stay. And then I also had a letter from the head of the Personnel Department up in Hartford, after his letter, asking uh-huh. would I stay.
Yeah.
Because they... Actually, they cannot fire you when you're 70, but they ask you to leave,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
But, as I said, it never got to that point.
Yeah.
2 years in succession, they asked me to stay. So my birthday is in July, and so I was 73 when I left, and I left at December 31st.
Mm-hmm.
So.